Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial. We'll be taking your calls live on the broadcast today, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. The broadcasts and the podcasts just keep on coming. Did another podcast today. If you have not yet subscribed to the Hank Unplugged podcast, you can do that on iTunes or wherever you consume your favorite podcast. You can also see the podcast on our website at the Christian Research Institute. The website is equip.org. And you just don't want to miss them. Every single one of them seems better than the last. As promised, I am interviewing and having a dialogue. It's not so much didactic, although at some points it is teaching. But it's a conversation. It's a dialogue between two friends. And I'm bringing, as I said, some of the brightest minds, most significant people on the planet to you in these dialogues. And I'm not hyping this. This is absolutely true. When you listen, I think you'll agree. So the podcast, they keep coming, and all by the grace of God, I had a transfusion today. This one was platelets. Never had that before, and as a result of the chemotherapy, I needed it. And it's a bit of a curveball because I went to get my blood test is normal, and didn't expect to have any problems because I feel fantastic. Sometimes I feel like I don't even have a sickness. In fact, I told my doctor that today. She came by and asked me how I was feeling, and I said, I'm feeling great. And she said, I just don't understand how you could be feeling great all the time with what you just went through in terms of a chemo regimen. But yet I do feel great, and thanks be to God, and thanks be to the prayers of so many people. I want to reintroduce someone to our audience here at the beginning of the show. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Her name is Elise, and of course, that name is forever imprinted on my consciousness because I have my own Elise. I've had a picture of Elise, well, various pictures of Elise throughout the years, and I just got a brand new one. I got to see it maybe just 20 minutes ago. I opened one of the letters to me, and here was this picture of this beautiful young lady. She's 11 years old, and I went to the back of the picture, and it says, Dear Mr. Hank, I'm praying for you every day. And then she inscribes Jeremiah 17:14 on the back of her picture, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I'll be saved, for you are my praise. Love, Elise, Winter Stellar, number 94. And that's the backstory to this particular testimony. Elise was snowflake number 94. She was part of the Snowflake's embryo adoption program. And I met her when she was just a little girl. Her parents had listened to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and while I don't remember all the specifics of the testimonies, I sit in studio here today. One thing they understood, and I think it was as a direct result of listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, was that while a human embryo does not have a fully developed personality, as is obvious, an embryo does have personality, not developed, but personhood, which is in the process of development. And so from every stage, from the very beginning until the time that we die, we are body-soul unities. And I want to underscore that, because when a woman gives birth, she's not giving birth to only a body. She's giving birth to a body-soul unity, both the physical and the metaphysical aspects of humanity. Well, at any rate, the parents of Elise, they adopted the snowflake. The snowflake came to them in the mail. Eric and Chris received the snowflake, recognizing that this is a human being, not to be discarded into the trash as just excess eggs from a in vitro fertilization process, but as a human being created in the image and likeness of God. The frozen embryo, without going through the technicalities, inserted in the uterine wall of Chris, the mother. And lo and behold, when I came to the scene, we have a little girl that I remember being cuddled in my arms. And then as time progressed, I saw a 5-year-old and then a 7-year-old and then a 9-year-old. And the latest picture is of an 11-year-old. And I'm holding this up for the camera, just an absolutely gorgeous young lady. Special in every way. And the last time I talked about her, she was sitting in the studio with headphones on about 2 feet from me. But I suppose this story is probably the most emblematic story I can think of, a real-life story underscoring the fact that ideas have consequences. If you think that this is just a clump of cells to be discarded or disposed of, it's a very, very different idea than if you believe that this is a human being stamped with the image and likeness of God. At any rate, I got a card from Eric and Chris and Elise, and it says, "Hank, you've always told us how to battle the storms in our lives, but now we get to watch you model it too. Thank you for the special place you hold in our hearts, as well as in our spiritual journey. Thank you for being committed to our Creator and His way. May God quickly calm this storm. You are beloved." And so I have three wonderful Christian people, one who is a snowflake, praying for me, and my daughter Christina is in studio with me. But I'll tell you, this moves me in a way that is hard to put into words. We did an article on this in the Christian Research Journal, "The Human Embryo, Potential Person or Person with Great Potential," is written by Clinton Wilcox. But sometimes we think about these things in technical terms, but when I see this picture, it's very, very personal to me.
Yeah, I remember meeting her. I came in, and her parents are the sweetest people ever, and her mom constantly comments on all of your work. She's constantly saying that we're praying for you and saying that I look pretty in my pictures. And I'm just like, oh yeah, it's that one lady. And she's so sweet. So it was just a great story. And I remember our Elise drew a picture for her, didn't she?
Yes, absolutely.
That was really special. They got to meet and they had a great time.
Yeah. So this is one of the wonderful privileges I have as host of the Bible Answers Men broadcast. To see a tangible example of, again, discernment ministry, what we're communicating. And I suppose when Francis Schaeffer said this would be the watershed issue of our day, he wasn't blowing smoke, because we have seen hundreds of thousands, millions of preborn children killed. These are real children. These are real children made in the image and likeness of God. And so this is one of the great testimonies, but so many testimonies coming in.
Yeah, we have one from Instagram. We've been posting a lot of pictures lately, and I don't know their first and last name, but their username is ECCJ57. And they say, many, many blessings to you, praying for you and your family. I know that God is good and his love is everlasting and his mercies endure forever. You are in the best hands, the ones who were pierced for the love of you. Your program has blessed me beyond measure. You will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. May his face shine upon you and his loving arms enfold you, and may his wings cover you so close to his bosom that you will hear and feel the heart that chose to love you.
Wow. The answer to my doctor as to why I feel as good as I do, why I feel so supported, why I feel such strength, must surely be supernatural, must surely Amen. Be a function of the prayers of God's people. And I know that many people expect me to be answering one question after another on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and this month has been a little different because this is the month that we come to our fiscal year end. And it's a critical month for us economically. As I say so often, the gospel is free, but someone has to put in the plumbing. And so what I want to do is once again underscore the necessity of people standing with this ministry financially. I'm sorry that this is something that that we do in some ways and have to truncate the calls, but it's necessary for me to be able to communicate with you the need to be partners with this ministry. And so there are a couple of different categories that I want to mention in this first segment of the broadcast. I oftentimes talk about support team members, and these are people that typically give every month, although some people, instead of doing it once a month, give one lump sum for the year. But these support team members are really the foundation of the ministry. They stand with the ministry prayerfully and financially. We like to call them the special forces, the Green Berets of our ministry. Without them, hearing the broadcast or the podcast or receiving the Christian Research Journal just wouldn't happen. Now, last year, I spoke in 8 different countries. The impact that the Lord allowed us to have around the globe, training missionaries, communicating not just with Christians, but also imams and rabbis, and as I did in the West Bank, the impact we had in South Korea. There was a whole denomination in South Korea considered a cult, not only by the government, but also by many of the intellectuals within the Christian community. And I was able to preside over a meeting in which the leaders of the denominations within South Korea, the professors, the intellectuals, came to an understanding that this group is not a cult at all. Now, there are many things that I disagree with vis-a-vis this group. They happen to be Seventh-day Adventist. Many, many things that I disagree with. But historically, the Christian Research Institute has never said that this is a cult. And the impact of this ministry all the way in South Korea was really humbling. So I gave a lecture. Everyone signed a manifesto, and then professors and denominational leaders had an opportunity to ask questions from the platform, and so it was quite an event impacting the lives of a lot of people. But these are just glimpses of what this ministry is doing around the world and why we're asking for our special forces and our Green Berets to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, and asking people to join this group. We have a wonderful group of people. It's growing. This month, we hope to grow it by 100. In some ways, I'm very thankful that we grew it by 50, but we had set our sights on 100. It's still possible, I suppose. We got tomorrow and or today and tomorrow. But if you have an opportunity to join CRI's monthly support team, it would be transformational, the lives of many people. I just gave you a couple of examples. You can join in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. There are also donors. If you're an occasional donor, thank you for being a part of the team. I want to encourage you to consider becoming a member of the support team. And if you're a one-time donor, think about becoming a two-time a year donor. That would make the difference of hundreds of thousands of dollars in terms of resources that go into ministry. And if you're an onlooker or a listener that's never participated, consider jumping in and becoming a support team member or a supporter of this ministry, particularly this month. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Do remember the number to dial to get your questions answered live on the broadcast Monday through Friday, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back.
Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine, even a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to a fallen human nature, but Christians failing to do what comes supernaturally to those with redeemed minds and sanctified wills. Our culture is in freefall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Make a difference and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. or call 888-7000-CRI. We are witnessing the advent of post-truth culture, and it's changing the West for the worst. What's needed now in shifting times, says Russell Moore, is neither a doubling down on the status quo nor a pullback into isolation. Instead, we need a church that speaks to social and political issues with a bigger vision in mind, that of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Moore's book, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel, will equip you to refocus and make a difference for time and for eternity. To receive your copy of Onward as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And do remember the number to dial to get your questions answered live on air, 888-ASK-HANK. There are many other ways in which we answer questions, including the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. And so there are a lot of ways in which questions come into the ministry through the web. We exist to answer people's questions. It is one of the core values of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We also exist to teach people biblical literacy. And I would add to that historical literacy. I find it sad in many ways, Christina, that there are so many people that know about the last 24 hours or 48 hours and perhaps even history based in weeks or a few months, but know very, very little of church history. I was talking to one of the podcast personalities just the other day about Islamic history. So a lot of people don't understand history because they don't know what happened during 14 centuries of Muslim caliphates, and partly because there was a small lull in the storm after Mustafa Kemal Ataturk abolished the caliphate in 1924, June 28. And after that, the whole Muslim idea, the way of Muhammad, was thought to be, well, the way of an antiquated, old-fashioned, out-of-touch Arabian person from the 7th century would act, but this has nothing to do with the modern world. And so in some sense, there was a secularization of Islam, but all of that has changed in a dramatic way in the last few years as we have seen the mass genocide of Christians in the Middle East. Some places like Gaza now do not count Christians in the tens and tens of thousands, but less than 1,000 Christians. I don't know what the exact number is, but it's very, very small. So Christians are facing mass genocide in the Middle East. All of this simply to say that we are in a unique epoch of time in which people need biblical literacy as well as historical literacy. When we talk about the ancient church, oftentimes people have no concept of what we're talking about. If we talk about the community memory of the church, people sort of stare at you with glazed over eyes. All of these are things that are important for people to become aware of. And what we're attempting to do is to take the complex, make it simple and transferable. So for example, when I teach people biblical literacy or how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended, I have an acronym, my acronym LIGHT, so that you can remember the principles and then apply the principles as you read the Word of God. And then of course, we are as a ministry committed to countering cults and world religions that set themselves in opposition to the faith once for all delivered to the saints. So these are some of our core values when it comes to truth. But we're also, and this is one of the important things for me, we're also communicating the necessity of experiencing life. And what I mean by that is that the port of salvation is not the goal. The goal is to go on from the port of salvation to union with God, because that's the very thing that we are created for. And that's why we say we do what we do, because life and truth matter. So this is a ministry making a difference in so many ways. We do it through our journal. We do it through our broadcasts. And during this month, the month of June, we spend some time on the Bible Answer Man broadcast really underscoring the need for people to partner with us. And in many ways, Christina, this is not asking people to give to us, but through us.
Amen. I mean, I've said this many times on the broadcast before, in that it's not us that's doing it, it's God working through us. And when people join us and stand shoulder to shoulder with us, they're doing it through gifts, through prayer. And so we just want to keep encouraging that. And I think encouraging this kind of program is really important in this day and age. I remember in high school, my teacher would talk about pluralism and subjectivism, and it didn't really ever seem real that things that seem common sense or like steeped in reality are interpreted not to be so. I think part of the problem with history is a lot of people in my generation and below kind of just don't trust it. They don't trust authority. And so I think through programs like this, we need to restore their trust in authority, and that people aren't just trying to smooth them over or trying to trick them, and that there is truth and that there is a way that things happen. It's not just always subjective or based on someone's point of view.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about what Russell Moore wrote in Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel. This, of course, is the book Onward, which we are making available for those who support the ministry all this month. But he points out that he was convinced that the next generation of Christian witnesses will be less like the Bible Belt kids that you were referring to, and that he faced at the start of his ministry with their rehearsed professions of faith and then their hidden rebellions. The next generation will confront us more with that second part of lostness, those for whom the Christian witness, right down to the basics, seems foreign and irrelevant and antiquated and even freakish. Jesus didn't hide the oddity, says Russell Moore, the oddity of the culture of the kingdom, and neither should we. Let's listen to what our culture is saying, hearing beneath the veneer of cool, the fear of a people who know that Judgment Day is coming because it's written in their hearts. And I think that is one of the most brilliant statements to make. I mean, it's an obvious statement to us on many levels, but it's a brilliant statement to make. On the one hand, the culture wants to dispense with Christianity as though it's outdated and no longer relevant. On the other hand, we know that God has written a knowledge of himself on the very, in the very DNA of the human structure. And Paul says that his eternal power, divine nature, being clearly understood through what has been made, therefore men and women, boys and girls, people in general, are without excuse.
Amen. I think that comes to light when people do not have a sense of God or understanding of Christianity. They have all these arguments about why they're special, what makes me special. Like, either I don't define myself and that makes me special, or different things that make us special. And I think that's a reflection of the fact that we do have the Imago Dei in us, and we see that in other people. But if you don't have a Christian perspective, it's hard to really define that, to really give it a source or creator.
You know, it's kind of interesting that your sister, your younger sister, Faith, when she went off to college, she went off to college with a bunch of peers. They'd all gone to Charlotte Christian. Most of them were, I think all of them maybe, from Christian homes. And Faith told me one day after she had been at university for maybe 9 months to a year that all her friends had left the Christian faith, that many of them had left the Christian faith because of the professors, but many others had left the faith because of the peer pressure, which is so strongly aligned against the historic Christian faith.
Oh, it's... I never went to a secular school, but I remember her telling me about it all the times. And a lot of my students that I taught would often talk about that and how it's, I mean, I taught at Christian schools, but just the pressure from media, it's not even people are directly saying it to them. They just feel it from the internet, from media. They feel this pressure that, oh, you're judging, that's wrong. And they struggle with that. And they struggle with, if I'm judging or if I'm not part of everyone else, am I being kind? Am I being a true Christian? And I think that is what's causing a little bit of this subjectivism, like, oh, it's okay, we'll tolerate it. Oh, we'll tolerate this. And then the line between what's orthodox and not orthodox gets fuzzy. It's well-meaning, but as I told my students several times, Christ, we don't preach offense, as you say, because the gospel is offensive, but when we don't preach offense in addition to the offensiveness of the gospel, but it's not something that is going to be taken like well by a lot of people, because it's telling you a certain way of living that a lot of people don't like, because people want to do what they want to do.
Yeah, so the gospel is an offense. We don't have to add to the offense by the way we communicate the gospel. But we do live in a post-truth culture, and I think all of this conversation is simply to underscore for listeners how necessary a ministry like the Christian Research Institute is. Our podcasts, our broadcasts, our social media platforms, and the resources that we put into the hands of people, not the least of which is the Christian Research Journal. This is a magazine equipping people in doctrine, defense, and discernment, because life and truth matter. The resources that we selected this month are resources that didn't just fall into our laps in the sense that, we'll just pick this book and make this the offer. We really agonize over what we put in the hands of people. We pray that people will read these books or pass these books on to their kids. We recognize that we're in a very unique time in history. This is not business as usual. This is a very, very unique time in the history of the world. And it's something you said a number of broadcasts ago. It's very analogous to the story of Esther, Queen Esther, being brought to the kingdom for just such a time as this. Of course, in her particular situation, she saved the Jews from certain destruction under Haman. And as a result of what she did, that one act, the power of one, multiplied by the Holy Spirit, the Jewish people and the very things that pointed forward to Jesus Christ continued on, not just in a tepid way, but with real power. And we're praying that that happens as a result of God using this ministry, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Now, please join us as monthly support team members, or just give us a gift this month. Stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We'll be right back with a quote of the day and more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
It's only by the grace of God and the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily through a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with CRI during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. We'll be back in a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture, wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's not merely advocate for causes, says Russell Moore. Let's not aspire to be a moral majority, but a gospel community, one that doesn't exist for itself, but for the larger mission of reaching the whole world with the whole gospel. That sort of kingdom-first cultural engagement drives us not inward, but onward. Because retreat or surrender is not an option for Christians who care deeply about God's kingdom and our religious liberties as Americans, we want you to have Russell Moore's vital book, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel. To receive your copy of this timely and insightful book, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Francis Beckwith, or if you will, Frank Beckwith. He is an associate professor of philosophy and jurisprudence at Baylor University, one of the brightest minds in the Christian world, in my estimation, and someone who has done as much or more for the pro-life movement through his writings and through his passionate teachings than anyone I know of. He wrote many, many books. I think one of them was Politically Incorrect Death, The one I'm thinking about in terms of the quote of the day is a book he wrote titled Defending Life, A Moral and Legal Case Against Abortion Choice. And I love what Frank says in this book. And by the way, I did a podcast with him recently. You can subscribe to the podcast at iTunes, or you can listen to it on the Bible Answer Man broadcast website, which is equip.org. It's CRI's website, and you can listen to the broadcast there, but you can also listen to the podcast there. At any rate, the quote of the day comes from Frank Beckwith, who said, although the zygote is a one-celled organism, it is simply not just a cell, like the rest of the cells of either the mother's or the father's body. It is an individual human organism whose cells all have the same genomic sequence, just like those in the mother's body as well as in our own. Except the zygote is a human being at a stage in her development at which her body just happens to have one cell. When we talk about a zygote, of course, we're talking about the fusion of sperm and ovum. And what Frank Beckwith is saying there is that while an embryo does not have a fully developed personality, it does have full personhood. We never say something absurd like, you once were an adolescent, but you didn't come from an adolescent. No, we say, you did not come from an adolescence, you once were an adolescent. You didn't come from an embryo, you once were an embryo. In other words, you were human at all stages of your development. And this is not something that is a mere metaphysical contention. Today, it is plain old experimental evidence. I think of what Dr. Jaime Gordon, professor of medical genetics at the prestigious Mayo Clinic, once said. This is one of those quotes that gets embedded in your consciousness. He said, I think we can now also say that the question of the beginning of life, when life begins, this is no longer a question for theological or philosophical dispute. It is an established scientific fact. And he went on to say that theologians and philosophers may go on to debate the meaning of life or the purpose of life, but it is an established fact that all life, including human life, begins at the moment of conception. And since that is an absolute fact, we need to continue talking about the Holocaust in our midst, the Holocaust of the preborn child, the unborn child. Some of us may have fetus fatigue, but not at the Christian Research Institute. We're going to continue pointing this out because, as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, ideas have consequences. And if you listen to the entirety of the broadcast, I talked about Elise, snowflake number 94, a frozen embryo that came in the mail, implanted in the uterine wall, and now is a beautiful Christian girl, 11 years of age. Her picture is an ever reminder to me that ideas have consequences. And so again, we at the Christian Research Institute, this is one of the things that we continuously communicate through our various mediums, and not the least of which is the Christian Research Journal, which has an article on this very issue. It's a complex article, but it's worth the time to work through it. I'm going to take at least a at least one question in interest of this being a call-in show. This is a Facebook question that came in that I think is very interesting. It's by Lowell, who says, my pastor told me that he considered the story in the Bible about Noah and the flood to be an allegory. not historical, that has me a little confused. Is it just a story or is it true? Well, it turns out that this is absolutely true. In fact, if you read through Genesis, you'll find that there are 10 genealogies on one side of the flood, 10 genealogies on the other side of the flood. Now, the genealogies are not meant to be sequential, but they are symmetrical. There's a purpose in those genealogies, but there's a historical narrative going on here. There's a real Adam and Eve, and they have progeny, just as Noah does after the flood. Of course, he and eight in all are saved in the midst of the floodwaters. And what's interesting about this is similarities between the Genesis flood account and corrupted flood accounts. And there are many, like the Epic of Gilgamesh or the Epic of Atrahasis or even the older Eridu Genesis are explained by a common inheritance. In other words, they all derive from the same source. They all derive from an actual event. And therefore, it stands to reason that as descendants of Noah would drift farther and farther away from God and from one another, human embellishments and interpretations would be imported into the actual historical text. But what I find absolutely fascinating about the biblical account is it corresponds to reality. In other words, if you look at the kind of arc that you have in the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is the Babylonian flood account, that arc is not seaworthy. The sequence of the sequence given in that account does not correspond to reality. There's so many gods that clutter the text. But in the case of the Bible, what we know today, what we can show today, is that the cube-shaped arc of the Epic of Gilgamesh, while it does not correspond to reality, the shape and size of the arc as delineated in the Bible does become a very seaworthy vessel that can withstand the waters of the flood. So corrupted flood accounts remind us that the reality of a great flood is imprinted on the collective consciousness of virtually every major civilization from the Sumerian epoch to the present age. And although the corrupted accounts view the waters of the flood through the opaque lens of paganism, they end up lending credence to an actual flood account. The biblical text, of course, is not designed to communicate whether the flood was global with respect to the earth or universal with respect to humanity. That's another issue. But that there was a flood, I think, is part of the collective consciousness of humanity passed down through the ages. Again, this is a whole other subject. It has to do with collective memory, and that collective memory of Christianity is not only passed down in the Judeo-Christian tradition in the Old Testament, but also, of course, in the New Testament. Let's go to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Tony. He's listening in Rossville, Tennessee, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tony.
Good afternoon, Hank. I just want to thank you for your ministry, and I want you to know that a lot of people that's praying for you, and I'm one of them.
Thank you, Tony.
And I wanted to ask you about the ministry of Watchman Nee. Can you tell me what do you think about his ministry, Watchman Nee?
Well, an interesting individual on all counts. You know, he had a passion in the early 1930s for Chinese Christians to be involved in ministry themselves, for the Chinese church to grow organically, not as a result of pastors, but as a result of people. And even by the 1930s, he had a huge, huge following. He traveled all over the world. He was in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. He was in London. It was in New York. So whenever he went back and spoke to the people, he spoke with a world knowledge. But he was able to explain very complex ideas in simple anecdotes that people could relate to. Of course, what's interesting about Watchman Nee is he was arrested in 1952. He was ultimately imprisoned permanently in 1956 in a labor camp, and he died in 1972. But his ministry, though he was imprisoned and died in a communist labor camp, his ministry continued on because, as someone has well said, the branch grew over the wall. And his ministry has continued to impact people. I was in Washington, D.C., talking to, I think it was a senator, I can't remember the senator's name at this point. It was a few years ago. But the first thing he brought up was how impacted he was by Watchman Nee's book, The Normal Christian Life. And it is a book that we've offered at the Christian Research Institute. But Watchman Nee had had his life, even though he was imprisoned, he died early, so to speak. His life has had an impact that continues to stretch around the globe. The progeny of Watchman Nee are numbered in the millions. And so I have a very high regard for Watchman Nee and for the progeny of Watchman Nee, some of whom are very, very close friends today of our family. We've gotten to know them. We've seen the life that he preached about in the early 30s in their life. He would have said with Vladimir Lasky that the port of salvation is not the ultimate goal. It is that we go on to experience union with God. So he had a big impact on my life and my ministry, and that impact continues on into the present. We're going to have to leave it at that again. This broadcast was designed to ask people to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. If you can stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, it would be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory for the extension of His kingdom. Give at equip.org. See you tomorrow.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.